great to be back with you with another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, Peter Schiff from Schiff Gold. Peter Schiff, chairman of Schiff Gold, located at schiffgold.com, author of several bestsellers and top radio host. Welcome back, Peter Schiff.
Thanks for having me back.
Wanted to begin today with the FOMC meeting. Economists are expecting to see numbers in the area of 1% GDP growth. That's sluggish. Their hands are tied, obviously. 2 p.m. today, we're going to get the FOMC, you know, rate decision. Odds are it's just going to be more of the same. Current consensus indicates about 100% chance of no rate hike until later this year, September, December. Tell us what you see here and what it means for investors.
First of all, to get the 0.2%, the government assumed inflation for the quarter was actually negative. The deflator was minus 0.1. Now, the last time that happened, we were in the Great Recession of 2009, the last time we got a negative GDP deflator. And before that, if you want to find another quarter where the GDP was deflator was negative, you got to go back to 1949. So I don't even believe that number. I think the government is underestimating inflation. So the economy would have contracted if inflation was 0.1% or higher. And then if you look beneath the surface, there was another build in inventory, and inventories are bloated right now. The inventory to sales ratio is the highest it's been since the 2009 recession. And if you back out the inventory build, then GDP would have actually been down 2.6% on a quarter. But what this all means is that these companies are loaded up with inventory they can't sell. That means they're not going to be buying a lot of inventory in the second quarter. Second quarter GDP is going to be weak as well. Everybody is thinking that the economy is going to rebound in the second quarter, so they've been dismissing the first quarter, but I think that that's just wishful thinking. This economy is headed to recession fast, and it's because the Fed got the economy so screwed up with all this QE and 0% interest rates, but of course we're going to get more of the same. I think the odds are zero that we're going to get a rate hike this year. I think we're going to get QE4 maybe by the end of the year, but certainly by next year.
You know, your idea here flies right in the face of the numbers we're seeing. I mean, they're indicating a sure thing by the end of this year on a rate hike. And you say that's just not the case then?
No, they're gonna have to readjust. The currency markets are maybe starting to get the picture. The dollar is now down for the second day in a row. This is the biggest two-day drop in the dollar in 6 years. And, of course, that route can get bigger if we get some kind of a dovish statement later on from Janet Yellen. But I think you've got a lot of people that have loaded up in dollars, and they're about to get burned. Meanwhile, oil prices are making a new high on the year. Now we're above $59 a barrel. I've always said that oil was a dollar story. That's the real story. And if the dollar turns around, so is oil. The dollar tanks. Oil is going all the way back up to $100 a barrel. And that's bad news for American consumers who are barely surviving now with the benefit of cheap oil. You know, the markets threw them that lifeline. But if it gets yanked away, it's going to be a really, really rough second half of the year for Americans.
Well, not to mention the West Texas Intermediate crude didn't remain at those nadir levels for long enough, I think, to positively impact the domestic economy, at least on a long-term basis. I mean, you're going to have sustained, reasonable energy prices for the everyday mom and pop to benefit.
You know, Americans have lousy jobs. Some of them have part-time jobs, and they used to have full-time jobs. They're not getting the wages that they need. Meanwhile, the cost of living is going up. Thanks to Obamacare, health care is a lot more expensive. Plus, you've got rising food costs. You've got rents going up dramatically. You know, home ownership now is at almost a 30-year low. So a lot of Americans are renting, and rents have been skyrocketing. So people are getting squeezed from every angle.
Speaking of getting squeezed, obviously the precious metals have been in a holding pattern here for about 12 months, backing and filling. Give us an idea of whether or not the strong dollar is the key component. You know, some of this money fleeing the Eurozone and around the world might improve prospects for the sector.
Yeah, I think gold is building a great base here. I mean, it was up $35 the last couple of days. Thus far, it's relatively flat today, down a couple of bucks. But I do expect if we get a dovish statement, you know, later today for gold to tack on some additional gains from the last 2 days' rally. But, yeah, what's really holding gold back, it's not just the strong dollar, but the idea that the Fed's going to be raising interest rates, and it's the fact that the fear of higher rates that's also hurting the case for gold. But when people realize that we're not going to get higher rates, that we're going to get QE4, that the dollar's going to tank, and more importantly, when people realize that there is no exit strategy and there never has been. Exit is impossible. It's QE infinity. It's 0% forever. Gold is going to go ballistic. I think the next gold rally is going to be the most spectacular rally we've ever witnessed.
That's certainly music to our listeners' ears. However, you know, we've been anticipating this for at least 3 or 4 years. What's going to be the impetus, maybe anything we haven't outlined so far, that sets these markets on fire?
It's going to be reality. Remember, you know, people have been living a fantasy where the U.S. economy is recovering and the Fed's going to raise rates. And none of that has been true, but you have everybody believing it, and they've bet lots of other people's money on that scenario panning out. And when they find out that they're wrong and they have to unwind these bad bets, I mean, that's going to send it ballistic. And, you know, the fact that we've had to wait several years means that there's that much more pent-up demand. There are that many more people who have shorted the metals who are going to have to buy them back. Meanwhile, a lot of the big buyers have taken a lot of supply off the markets. A lot of the foreign central banks have been gobbling up what investors were selling, and when the investors want to buy it back, it's not going to be available. So there's going to be a huge squeeze coming on. It's going to be hard to get the physical metal, and the only way they're going to flush out some sellers is to offer them much, much higher prices.
And that's certainly in-depth analysis, but in general, we see that markets tend to be a bit more sophisticated and forward-looking than even the sharpest analyst. For instance, what if we see a different scenario play out? What if this dollar remains surprisingly strong, makes a comeback here? It is in a solid 9 to 10 month uptrend. If that persists into the end of this year, the Fed feels confident enough to pull the trigger on rates, the precious metals market adjusts, there's some panic. Wouldn't that present probably the best buying opportunity under that scenario?
Well, I don't think the Fed can raise interest rates because the economy would implode because we have too much debt. That's, you know, the only reason that the economy appeared to be recovering is because of the 0% interest rates and the QE. You can't take that away and expect the illusion to last. So I don't think a rate hike is possible. Now, is it possible that the Fed can do a trivial rate hike? 10 basis points, 15, 25 basis points, one and done. It's possible, but I think that would be a very big risk, because I think that would accelerate the collapse of the economy, because I think once the Fed raises rates even a little bit, then the markets are going to start factoring in additional rate hikes. And so I don't know if the Fed wants to risk that.
Let's take just a quick look back from 1987 to 1994 bond plunge. So you had a stock plunge in 87 and bonds, then again in 1994. Then 7 years later, 87 to 94, 94 to 2001, 2001 to 2008, and now 2008 until now. Those are 7-year cycles. And interestingly, we have had a serious financial dislocation. Could it be coincidence? Yes. Do you see something like that in the next 12 to 24 months?
I think we are on the verge of a significant movement in the markets. I think mainly in the foreign exchange markets. It's hard to know how it'll play out exactly in the equity markets and the bond markets. Eventually, the bond market has to crack when the dollar cracks. But the bond market, you know, there could be a delay reaction because the central banks could keep buying bonds. But in order to buy bonds, they have to accelerate the decline in the dollar because they have to print dollars to buy the bonds. But the more dollars they print to protect the bond market, the less those dollars are worth. So they really fuel the dollar crisis by trying to avert the bond crisis. Stock market is tougher to figure out because you're going to have two opposing forces. You're going to have the weakening dollar and the weakening economy that makes U.S. assets less attractive from an earnings point of view and from a currency point of view. But then you're going to have all this new liquidity and inflation that would try to drive domestic money into the stock market. So it's hard to say exactly where it's going to go. But, you know, if the Fed were to have to jack up interest rates sharply to defend the dollar and fight inflation, the stock market would collapse.
And you expect then that those funds would obviously flow into commodities as a competing asset class.
Out of the stock market, but the love affair with the dollar is what's going to end first. And that's where you have this universal bullishness right now. Everybody's been so bullish the dollar, and everybody is on that trade, and I think it's going to be the biggest money-losing trade. Traders who are on margin, who are speculatively long the U.S. dollar are going to get crushed.
But are you talking about an elite few? I mean, you know, folks who really trade seriously, professionally for a living? Because right now, everybody's talking about stocks. That's where the retail money is. I can't imagine any retail investor involved in the dollar.
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily, although there are some retail investors who own hedged ETFs that own foreign equities that hedge to the dollar. So those accounts could get clobbered. But no, I'm talking mainly about large funds, hedge funds or banks that trade on margin, more sophisticated guys. There's massive amounts of leverage available to you in the foreign exchange markets. And there are a lot of smaller traders that trade in the interbank markets in foreign exchange. And a lot of money has been made on paper riding the dollar higher. I just think most of those profits are going to be given up when the dollar collapses. And I think the dollar is going to fall much quicker than it rose, because you had all these buyers coming in over months and months and months, crowding into this trade. So they all didn't put the trade on at the same time, but they're all going to try to take it off at the same time when they figure out that they're wrong. And that's why the market can implode, much faster than it exploded when it was going up.
I see what you're getting at, but to me, the magnitude of this rally, undoing 12 years of a downtrend in just a matter of months.
The dollar's only really been rallying since the middle of last year. Just because it may have got to its highest level in a number of years, it hasn't been rallying all those years. The dollar rally really started in around, I guess, March, early 2014. And so it was a very strong rally, one of the strongest ever, but it's going to also be one of the biggest collapses ever.
I'm on board with you in the long term. I just don't want to see our listeners get burned by a final panic takedown that I see building up, technically speaking, and fundamentally in the charts, because I think the dollar rally, this is just my two cents. And I would love to, pick up the metals at even lower prices. I think that's going to be the best play for the next 10 years.
That is possible, but that takedown may have already occurred. It may have occurred over the last few months. It's always possible that you could wait for one more dip, right?
Yeah.
But if you do that, then it might not come, and you may have missed the final opportunity. So
yeah.
To me, I'd rather not run the risk that, let me see if the dollar has one more huge run in it before I bail out, or maybe the precious metals markets are going to have one more big flush out. Maybe we've already had the big flush out. So many people waiting for the flush out, and a lot of people, from my perspective, have already been flushed. When you do get to the bottom, you never expect everybody to believe it's the bottom. So when we are at the bottom, there is going to be a lot of people that are looking for the market to move lower, right? Because if most people didn't think we would move lower at the bottom, we wouldn't be there. So the fact that you're still expecting a big drop is a good sign that, we may have seen the bottom, because when we get to the bottom, most people won't know it.
The strategy then is start to dip the toe in the water, dollar cost average in now. If you get a lower low, that's great. Otherwise, keep buying the breakouts as they come. How would your viewpoint, your vantage point change if we do see a final takedown to new lows? Because you'd have to admit that's a four-year trend.
There's a lot of support in the gold market, below 1,200. We've been down there several times. Every time we've gone down there, we've had buyers. And so I don't know what's going to change that. But now, we are in a weakening dollar environment right now. We are in a rising crude oil environment. And so if these trends continue, I don't see why gold would not continue higher from here.
Well, you're certainly right as far as trying to catch the bottom. Crude oil gave very little warning. A quick little double bottom in the weekly chart. So good advice. All right. As we wrap up here, anything else that you're watching closely? My guess is you feel the equities rally is getting a bit frothy. We did take out .com peak.
We need to see kind of what the Fed statement is this afternoon, how the markets react to it. But I think the dollar is in a very precarious position right now on some key trend levels. We've dropped very sharply the last couple of days, but we're sitting on some key trend lines with several major currencies. And if the dollar were to just move a little bit lower from here, it could free fall several percentage points very quickly. So I want to look for that. If we get a more rapid decline in the dollar and, of course, more upward pressure on oil prices, maybe we'll get above $60 a barrel this week, maybe even today, we'll see. But that should be enough. And then if we get a real breakout, the gold market, gold has had a lot of resistance every time it gets a little bit above 1,200. Right now we're around 1,210. But if we can really break above 1,250, then I think a very big and very rapid rally is going to ensue.
Keep in mind, though, a lower dollar, good for U.S. multinationals, those with strong exports, things of that nature. I mean, that's a big plus for the Dow and some of the components of the S&P 500.
Some companies, you know, will have a benefit from a weaker dollar, but I think net-net, a weak dollar is going to undermine the attractiveness of U.S. stocks globally, so you'll have less demand for U.S. stocks. And it also is going to signify a weakening U.S. economy, because that weak dollar is going to mean higher prices, you know, at the gas station, at the grocery store. And so, you know, that's going to sap you know, the consumer's ability to buy other things when the weak dollar is weighing them down. So it's not going to be a good thing. But the inflation that, you know, it could keep a floor beneath U.S. stocks. So U.S. stocks don't necessarily collapse, but it's going to be much better for foreign markets than U.S.
And last thoughts then on real estate. Obviously, the real estate market, the HGX, moving almost lockstep with equities up until recently. Do you see this as a trend that could reverse?
I think the real estate market is very vulnerable here. I mean, again, you have home ownership rates at, you know, almost 30-year lows. So there is some demand for rental housing, but I have a feeling that a lot of these tenants are going to be losing their jobs in this next downturn and struggling, you know, again, to buy food and to pay their utility bills. So I think it's going to be difficult on landlords to get quality tenants. And I just don't think U.S. real estate is a good place to be investing. I mean, if you want to invest, you got to invest abroad. You got to get out of the dollar. I think we've been in a recession the entire time. So I guess it's the depression, but the government doesn't measure it right because it's understating inflation. But I do think that we're not going to get the growth in Q2 that people are looking for. You know, we'll be lucky to get a 2% number. Maybe it'll be less than that, which would mean GDP growth for the first half of the year could end up being below 1%. And then the second half of the year, without the Fed, you know, coming in with QE4, we could have a negative quarter, and then we would be entering, you know, finishing up 2015 in recession.
Inflation numbers, when they're understated, of course, that overstates your GDP, your gross domestic product, and that is all you need to have essentially a 15-year recession that we've had.
And that's what actually makes sense, because if you look at the collapse of our labor force, the, you know, all these jobs that have disappeared, the net reduction in energy consumption, I think our economy is smaller than it was 10 years ago. I don't believe that the economy is bigger. It's only bigger because of inflation, but because we don't acknowledge the inflation, we pretend that the growth is real. But I think in real terms, the U.S. economy is in a major contraction. It's been ongoing, and it's going to persist because of the bad monetary and fiscal and regulatory environment that we're living in.
Please tell folks who are interested how they can find out more about the work and everything that you provide online.
Well, you mentioned Shift Gold. If you want to get some physical precious metals, you can contact our company, Shift Gold. We got great prices on gold and silver bullion, bars and coins. If you want to invest internationally, if you want to help me to help you build a portfolio and manage a portfolio of foreign stocks and bonds, you can go to my website, europac.com, EUROPAC.com, and, you know, look around, sign up for my newsletters, talk to one of my brokers about how we can help you with your, you know, retirement account or your personal investment account. You can also go and listen to my podcast, shiftradio.com. I do those. My video blogs on YouTube. There's lots of ways to follow the work that I do. And, you know, my most recent book, if you haven't read it, The Real Crash, America's Coming Bankruptcy, I suggest you read it before it's a history book.
You've been very prescient thus far, so let's hope that it doesn't become required reading in academia, because by then it's probably going to be too late. Peter Schiff, we appreciate all your work. Please keep it up, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.